How's everybody doing tonight? It's great to see you, ladies. It's great to see you, sisters. I would like to welcome everybody that's here with us tonight. Tonight we're going to talk about sin. And the title of the class is Walking in the Light. You know, let's open our Bibles to 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. This year so far, in our women's midweek, we have focused on relationships. In January, Sarah spoke about how Christianity is a religion of relationships. In February, we shared about loving one another. Sarah continued in March and spoke about not judging each other. In April, I taught about letting our light shine. Last month, Sarah showed us how words matter. So tonight we're going to talk about sin and walking in the light. Remember when you study the Bible? Do you remember when somebody shared about sin with you for the first time? I do. There were so many things that I had no idea that they were sin. Of course, I knew I was a sinner. I knew that everybody was a sinner. But I had never examined my life to what the scripture said. The way I used to think was, you know, I will measure up my good deeds against my bad deeds. And my good deeds were more than my bad deeds. So I thought it was okay. And in my pride, I will compare myself with other people. And I always found somebody that I thought was worse than me. So in my pride, I saw myself as better than other people, because I had made myself the standard. But studying about sin convicted me so much. And I learned that all sins were the same, that they were not big sins like I thought, murder, rape, you know, violence. So those were big things, big sins in my mind. But in God's eyes, they were the same. That telling lies, even though what I thought it was a small lie, it was as dangerous as what I thought it was a big sin. See, I lived in the world, and the world was my standard. I did what I thought was best based on what I thought. But then somebody shared the scriptures with me, and I learned that the Bible is the standard that God is going to use to judge us at the last day, that the Bible is what matters. So I repented, I changed, and I got baptized. Remember the day that you got baptized? What a glorious day. We're clapping for Cherise today because we're excited. The day that our sins were forgiven, that we went from darkness into light. But guess what? God didn't take us automatically to go to heaven. We're still here. And in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 10, let's read that. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 10, he says, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him, there's no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us." Look in verse 6. As disciples, as Christians, we claim to have fellowship with God. But if we walk in the darkness, we are lying. You know, is that you tonight? Ask yourself, are you supposed to be walking in the light, but are not? Are you living a double life? I appeal to you, sisters. If that is you, tonight is a night that you can be open, that you can share, that you can come into the light. There's nothing that any one of us has done that will shock God. In fact, he knows everything about us, even before we were born. In verse 7, he says, you know, in verse 7, he says, walking in the light, we have fellowship with one another. We have fellowship with God, and we have fellowship with each other. So what is the scripture telling us? You know, in verse 9, he says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful. In James chapter 5, verse 16, that's a scripture that all of us know. You know, the scripture says, confess our sins to each other. God wants us to be open about our sins. That is so different from what the world teaches. The world wants you to keep everything inside. Keep your secrets. Don't tell anybody your business. And God, in his wisdom, he says, confess your sins. To who? To each other, to one another. You know, when we confess to our sin, confess our sins to each other, it helps us to pray for one another. It helps us to encourage one another. It helps us to hold each other accountable. Guess what? I did not write this. Sarah did not write this. Richard did not write this. The elders of the church, it was not their invention. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says that we should confess our sins to each other. It is in the word. So all of us are sinners. Nobody's exempted from this. Even after we got baptized, it doesn't mean that we never sin again. But there is a difference. When we were in the darkness, we were not conscious of sin. We had no clue. It didn't bother us. Our hearts were hard. We were walking in the darkness. But as disciples, we're in the light. And it should bother us. You know, it should bother us. I remember somebody told me that when you get baptized, it's like you're wearing this white robe, this white dress. And sin is like ketchup. You know, so if you have this beautiful white dress with ketchup, what should we do? Clean it right away, right? Because what happens when we don't? It gets deep into the material, and then it's difficult to get it out. You know, so God wants us to confess our sins, to be open, to repent, to change. So there's a big difference when we were sinning in the darkness that we didn't repent, we didn't know. And when in the light, you're eager to change, to repent. Let's read James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 13 through 13. We're going to read about temptations here. He says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. So all of us are going to be tempted, right? All of us will have temptations every day. But then here we see a progression from the temptation. He says that we could be dragged away and be enticed by evil desires that will lead us to sin. And when sin is not dealt with, it will lead to spiritual death. You know, the Bible gives us so many examples of this. If we look at the very beginning of creation, in Genesis 2, verse 16, we know how God commanded Adam that he should not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, right? And in Genesis 3, what happens? From 1 through 6, Genesis 3, from 1 to 6, we can read that. This is a passage that all of us are that familiar with. He says, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her and he ate it. So here we see how the serpent comes into the picture. And what does the serpent do? The temptation. He says, did God really say? Questioning what God said. Did God, are you sure? You know, the snake was crafty. Did God really say you must not eat? Now, Eve is aware because she answers, her husband has passed the message to her. And she says, you know, God say that we should not eat it. And she even adds something else. Don't even touch it, right? But what happens in verse 6 here? It says that the woman saw that the fruit looks so good. I'm sure it was shiny and it looked juicy and it looked so appetizing. And chances are she was hungry. So it looked great. It wasn't a rotten fruit. It was a food that was calling her, that it looked great. Plus, it was going to give her knowledge. She wanted to know. She wanted to know. So what did she do? She was enticed by her desires. She knew what God had said. Like I said, she even added to that. But all that went out the window. Yes, God said, don't eat it, but she forgot all about it. And she took the fruit and she ate it. She listened to Satan instead of listening to God. She followed her emotions instead of obeying God. She disobeyed God. And at the beginning, I think she was not even aware until the consequences came. And if you read the rest of the story, you know what happens. When God comes, you know, then they start blaming each other. Then Adam says, you know, the woman you put in here. And the woman said, the serpent. Then they don't take responsibility. They start blaming each other. Sin keeps growing and growing. And when not repented, it leads to spiritual death. How about us tonight? Because it's not enough just to read the stories in the Bible. We have to apply them to us. How about us tonight? We know what God says about righteousness. Are you compromising? We know what God says about obedience. Are you following your own desires instead of God? Maybe your desires is to get married and you've been waiting and you don't see anything. So now, instead of trusting God, are you following your desires? Maybe with a child, the same thing. Or with a job, instead of trusting God, you just go and do anything instead of obeying God and trusting God. You know, when I studied the Bible, I was involved in a relationship that was not godly. And I remember talking to the boyfriend that I had, and I said, look, we cannot be doing this. And he said, sure, no problem. But maybe after a few days, he wanted to be intimate. And I said, no, I cannot. I want to follow God. And he said, well, honey, this is good for you. I don't know if it's good for me. So we broke up. I broke up, you know, and I repented of my sin and I was baptized. But guess what? After I got baptized, I missed him. And I will be crying. I'll be thinking, before I had somebody. Now I have nobody. I felt lonely. I felt sad. And he was calling me. And I remember one time as a young Christian, as a disciple, I got together with him and I was impure. I compromised. I was miserable. I had one foot with God in the church, and I have one foot in the world. I was a hypocrite. I was living a double life, and I was miserable. And I remember thinking, I have to decide, who do I follow? And I remember thinking, do I see myself 10 years from now? Do I see myself in a solid, happy relationship with this guy? Is he gonna be faithful? Am I going to be faithful? And the answer was, no, I don't think he was going to be faithful. I don't think the relationship was going to work. And then I thought, 10 years from now, if I hold on to God, is God going to be faithful? And the answer was, yes. So I made a decision. You know, there's some things that I thought about. And I asked myself, is the Bible true? Did Jesus die for me? So what am I going to do? I had to reason that way. Is the Bible true? Yes. Did Jesus die for me? Yes. So what am I going to do? I did not follow my emotions. My emotions were telling me, stay with this guy, stay with this guy. I did not follow my emotions. I followed the scriptures. But I gave myself fully to what God said, and my convictions grew and I became stronger. Are you at a point right now tonight where you have to make a decision? Ask yourself the same questions. Is the Bible true? Did Jesus die for you? So who are you going to follow? Are you going to follow your emotions? Are you going to follow your desires? Or are you going to follow God? You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 to 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 to 13. And this is a scripture that many of us have memorized through the years. It says, if you think that you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to men. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so you can endure it. You know, sometimes we think we're strong. And when we think we're strong, the Bible says, be careful. See, all of us started strong. Before we got baptized, all of us repented. People even counted the cost with us. We went through Bible studies and we counted the cost. People will say, are you going to be a disciple if this happens and if that happens? And we said, yes, we're going to be faithful disciples. But someone told me once that counting the cost is like a haircut. You know, when you go to the hair salon and you have this beautiful haircut and you come out and it's beautiful, what happens after a few weeks? It's not beautiful anymore. You need another haircut. I have counted the cost in my Christian journey, in my Christian walk with God so many times. Am I going to be a disciple? Why do I do the things I do? Am I going to repent? Am I going to continue to be committed and to make Jesus Lord of my life? You know, so the Bible here says, if you think you're strong, be careful. Why would the Bible say that? Why would the Bible say to be careful if you think you're strong? You know, when we think we're strong, we put our guard down. And then we depend on ourselves. And then sometimes we don't listen to advice. We become proud. We think that we know better. So if you think that you're strong, be careful. Be careful that you're not blinded by your pride. Be careful that you don't fall. Are you listening? If you think you're strong, do you listen to advice? Do you confess your sin? Do you see your sin? You know, I think the people that let the guard down many times is not just young Christians, but older Christians. Most of us have been around for a long time, sisters. And I want to encourage you. Many of us have been around for decades. You've been a disciple. Maybe you became a disciple as a teen or as a campus student. Maybe you got married. Maybe you're single, but you've been around for a long time and you have persevered. You have seen the good. You have seen the bad. You have seen the exciting times in your life and in the kingdom and the more difficult times as well. And as I grow older as a disciple, I realize more and more that it's not just how we start our race, our journey, but it's how we finish. Because our race is not a sprint, but it's not a marathon either. It's many marathons, many, many marathons. And going back to verse 13, here, the scripture says that God is faithful. God was faithful at the beginning when you got baptized, but God is faithful now. God is faithful now. After all these years, do you still trust God? Do you still trust God? Or have you become cynical? Cynical about the church, cynical about the leaders of the church, cynical about the goals that we have as a church, critical of people. Have you put up a wall of lack of trust in relationships? Maybe because you have been hurt in all these years, and I'm sure all of us have because we're sinful people. But we got to deal with that sin in our hearts. We have to deal with that, with our sin in our hearts. Maybe the dreams that you had have not become a reality after all these years that you've been a disciple. You know, and some people that I love in the scriptures, in Daniel chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know their story? When they have to bow down to the statue and they refuse, I love the fact that they say, we do not need to defend ourselves in this matter, O king. The God we save is able to save us. That God is able to give us all the dreams that we want. But even if he doesn't, he says, even if God doesn't save us, we will not bow down and worship the statue. Because I think sometimes we feel like, God, if I do this for you, you got to do this for me. That is our way of thinking as human beings. And in reality, that's not the way it is. Everything is God's. We are just worshiping because he is our Father. So the God we serve is able to fulfill every single dream that you have, big or small. But what about if he doesn't? That is the test of discipleship. That is the test of your faith. What about if he doesn't? Are you still going to be faithful? Are you still going to trust him? Galatians chapter 6. I pray this is making sense, guys. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 9, I cannot wait to meet us in person so we can get feedback. But we will do that when we break up into our rooms. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, 6:9, he says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So sisters that we've been around for a long time, let us not become weary in doing good. Sometimes we get a spiritual fatigue and we get tired of doing good. Do not grow weary in doing good. Do not grow weary in doing good in your marriage. Sometimes you might get tired and said, why do I have to be the one that apologizes first? Why do I have to be the one that wants to initiate with all the couples? Why do I have to be the one? And you stop. And then when you stop, you know what happens? You become bitter in your heart and resentful. And your heart starts becoming hard. Do not grow weary in doing good. Do not grow weary in your parenting. Love your children. Your children, it doesn't matter how old they are. When they're small, we gave them everything. As they get older, do not grow weary in loving your family. Do not grow weary in discipling. You have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. Do not grow weary. In discipling, disciple people, speak the truth. Whether people listen or fail to listen, speak the truth. Be given, trust, believe. You know, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. This is a very scary scripture, sisters. Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. The Bible says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. What a scary scripture. Doesn't even say the love of many. It says the love of most will grow cold. This is very, very scary. And we need to take sin seriously. Why? Because it will destroy your love for God. Your love will grow cold. If you allow sin to reign in your heart, it will freeze. It will kill your love for God. It will destroy your relationship with God and your relationships with others. No one leaves God overnight, guys. Nobody decides to leave God just like that. It's a process. Nobody decides to leave their spouse overnight. It's a process. It's years of not repenting. So be open. Be open, repent, change. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 to 13, Ephesians chapter 5, we can read that. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 to 13. He says, but among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality, of any kind of impurity, of greed, because these are improper of God's holy people. This is the standard that the scripture calls us is so high. Look what it says, not even a hint. You know what a hint is? A little tiny thing. We live in a country that we have freedoms and we don't want people to tell us what to do. But again, this is not me telling you. This is God saying, among you, brothers, sisters, among you, there should not even be a hint of impurity, not even a hint. I think sometimes we think, well, that is your interpretation. I've heard people said, I don't struggle. I can watch pornography and I don't struggle with it. What? That is more than a hint. That is more than a hint. It says, any hint of impurity, of greed, because these are improper of God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, of course, joking, which is out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure. This is what the Bible says. We can be sure no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, because of such things, God's wrath comes from those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposes in the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes light. You know, when I was in Africa, there was a situation that one time a sister came to me and she had a question. She said, Daisy, what do you do when you know somebody that is dating with a brother in the church and they're immoral and they're teaching in the kids' kingdom? And I say, who? And she didn't want to tell me. You know, and I had to speak to her and I said, you know, I want to help this sister. This sister is not doing well spiritually. As a leader of the woman, I want to help her. I want to get in there to help her. You know, sisters, we need to love each other. That when we have a brother or a sister that is obviously in sin, you got to help them. You know, this friend had told her, you need to speak, but the sister never did. These are matters of life or death. These are matters of life, spiritual life or death. This was not gossip. This was about saving the life of this person. We need to be women that grow in our maturity and that we care each other deeply, that we challenge. I'm not saying that we need to be bossing, but we need to see how urgent this is. So I, you know, the sister told me and we got together with the sister and I asked her, how are you? And she said, fine. And I said, how are things with your boyfriend doing? Fine. She was not open. And I said, have you been immoral? And she said, yes. And then I was, you know, we were talking. And I said, why didn't you say something? Why didn't you talk? And you know what she told me? She told me that she was afraid of what would people say. She was afraid of people. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, the Bible says, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. You know, are you afraid of people? You know, this sister that I'm telling you about, she was a kingdom kid. Her mom was a disciple. She was teaching in the kids' kingdom. She was helping in every hope event. She never missed church. She was always present. She had become religious. She thought that as long as she comes to church, she will be okay. Have you become religious? You see, being a disciple is not about just being present in your body, physically at church. And being at church is important, but God wants your heart. If you've been immoral, it doesn't matter how many times you're serving in the kids' kingdom. If you don't confess your sin and you don't repent of your sin, there was so much in her heart that she did not understand. She did not understand the deceit. She did not understand the lack of fear of God. She didn't understand how much she was hurting herself because she was concerned about what would people think. You know that we are not going, we are people, we are sinful people. We're here to help one another. Be afraid of what God thinks. Get everything out. Who cares about what anybody thinks? Fight for your heart. Fight for your relationship with God. You know, it was hard for this sister. It was very difficult for her to be honest. She was so busy trying to cover up because she didn't want to see herself. But when we humble ourselves before God, when we are open, then we can find mercy. Then we can change. You know, and she did. You know, years later, she got married to somebody else and she's a faithful disciple. But Ephesians chapter 4, that's the scripture that was showing in the screen. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 to 32. It says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. In verse 30 here, look what he says. And he says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit of God? He says, get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger. When there's bitterness in our hearts, when there's lack of forgiveness, when there's rage, when there's anger, you are grieving the Holy Spirit. You are in sin. You have hurt. You are hurting your relationship with God and your relationship with others. You know, I have heard statements in our region where people say, I don't want to be in this Bible talk because I don't get along with this sister. That's bitterness. I don't want to be in this Bible study with this person because I don't get along with that person. Sisters say those things as a matter of just talking and do not even see the sin in their hearts. And people said, no, I'm okay. I don't have an issue. I have forgiven. I'm resolved. You're not resolved. Your heart has become hard. Just like the sister that was involved in immorality had become religious. If you have bitterness and lack of forgiveness in your heart, but you serve, you come, you do everything, you have become religious. And your heart has become hard. But what about if you have been mistreated and hurt and people have sinned against you? Don't you have the right to become bitter? Well, guess what? Welcome to lordship. Welcome to discipleship. Wasn't Jesus mistreated? Wasn't he hurt? Didn't people spit on his face and betrayed him? Your pride has blinded you that you don't want to see how your bitterness is hurting your heart. I think that we've been talking about forgiveness, sisters, for so long. It scares me to know that we hear these messages over and over and over, and we don't see it. That means that your heart is hard. Tonight, I want you to stop and examine your own heart. Don't think about, oh, Daisy's speaking about this other person. No, I'm speaking about you. I'm speaking about me. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. The scripture that is favorite scripture for many of us, but so challenging. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed in the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. What does this world teach? This world teaches lack of forgiveness. This world, they talk about the bad things that other people have done. This world teaches you, you have the right to have bitterness in your heart. The scripture says, be transformed. In Romans chapter 12, verse 17, in the same passage, it says, it says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. But be careful to do what's right in the eyes of everybody. Do not pay evil for evil. How can God forgive you if you're not forgiving people? How can you make it to heaven if you don't want to be with the same sister, with a sister in a Bible talk? How? The answer is you won't. You will not make it. You know, my heart was exposed a few months ago. I changed a password in one of my financial accounts. And as soon as I changed the password, I got a text message that said that all my funds had been transferred. All of it. I did not make a transfer. All the money was gone. I wish I could tell you I was at peace. I trusted God. I knew God was in control. Nope. I was freaking out. I was shaking like this. You know, I couldn't make a call to find out what's going on. It was terrible. And I had to pray. But I didn't pray about the money. I was like, God, I see that I have trusted. I have put my trust in this money. I have not trusted in you. I have preached about trusting God. And I saw how my trust was in this money. The scriptures about the love of money is the root of all evil came to my head, came to my heart. I felt like a hypocrite. I was crying, not because of the money, but I was crying because of the condition of my heart. You know, I had to say, God, forgive me. Forgive me. And after that, I prayed, I calmed down, I make some phone calls. The money was there. It was a mistake. But that little situation helped me see the condition of my heart. We go through things every single day that God is trying to show us the condition of our hearts, and we don't pay attention. You had that quarrel with your husband, but you don't pay attention about the condition of your heart. You got impatient with a bus driver, but you didn't pay attention. You lied, you were deceitful, but you didn't pay attention. You're standing firm. You think you're strong, but you're not. You're making excuses. We have to recommit and reconnect with God. In Psalm chapter 26, verse 2, I know I'm running out of time. He says, test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind. You need to examine your heart. This is the time that we take in as a congregation to examine ourselves. Take this time. Examine your heart as yourself. As we are ready to re-engage, we want to be different women for God. Examine your heart. Take the time. How are you doing spiritually? How are you doing spiritually? Is Jesus Lord of your life? What do you see in you that you need to change? Ask people that know you. What do you see in me that needs to change? Is there anything that you need to confess tonight? Is there anything that you need to repent from? Is there anyone that you need to forgive? Is there anyone that you don't want to talk to? Are you bitter towards anybody? And the last question, what are you going to do about it? Because that is repentance. What are you going to do about it? We live in a spiritual war. Satan is fighting for our hearts every single day. All of us have sin in our hearts, but if we don't see it, how can you change it? That's what we need to ask one another. We need to see ourselves, but that's when we have each other to help us out. As we divide into the groups tonight, let's not talk about how hot it is, which I know is hot, but let's talk about how we're doing. Let's talk about the things that you need to repent of. If you need to confess sin, confess sin. Let's create this environment of righteousness that we strive to do what's right and repent and confess. Husbands and wives, your wives, ask your husband, sister, what does he see in you that you need to change? As your children, what do they see in you that you need to change? Let's repent. Let's walk in the light as he is in the light, because he will forgive us of all our sins, and we can have fellowship with him and with one another. I hope the class encouraged you. I love you with all my heart. Thank you so much for listening to me tonight. Thank you.